Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Malachi. It is the last book in the Old Testament. And we will be reading from chapter 3 of Malachi, verses 1 through 4. It is found on page 830 in your pew Bibles. At this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts, but who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver till they present right offerings to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in the former years. Our New Testament reading will come from the Gospel of Luke. And again, we'll be reading from chapter 3 in the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 through 6. And it is found on page 890 and 91 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius tetrarch of Abilene, in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of the Lord. John the Baptist, of course, is a familiar figure during the season of Advent. He is the one who introduces us to the season of Advent and gets us ready for the coming of the Lord in our midst. Strange, of course, are the ways of God. John is probably not the kind of person that you and I would call to introduce anyone to anything, let alone the coming of the Lord in our midst. First of all, John is not the kind of person we would want because he doesn't know how to dress. If we were going to find someone who would prepare God's way for us, we would want someone who knew how to dress. But John's dress is camel hair and a leather belt, the rough dress of a prophet. But he doesn't know how to dress. Not very fashionable. Secondly, John doesn't know how to dine. He doesn't know how to eat. Locusts and wild honey is his diet. Imagine taking John out for lunch with your friends and having him embarrass you by ordering a lunch of locusts and wild honey. Not the kind of person that you would want making an impression on anyone. And third, John doesn't quite fit in because he doesn't live in the right place. He resides out in the wilderness, apart from the rest of civilization, in the wilderness, where life is marginal and survival is called into question. But the text tells us that this is where the word of the Lord comes. It comes to John the Baptist out in the wilderness. One of the things that I like about Luke's gospel is that Luke is a historian. Luke takes the time to situate his gospel historically. He wants us to understand that this gospel story takes place at a particular time. And so today's passage is the third time that Luke sets the story of God's breaking into the world in the context of world leaders. He tells us that the birth of John the Baptist takes place when Herod was the king of Judah. He tells us that the birth of Jesus takes place during the rule of the Emperor Augustus, when Quirinius was governor. And now at the start of John the Baptist's ministry, Luke tells us that it happens when Tiberius Caesar is the emperor of Rome. It happens when Pontius Pilate is the governor of Judah. It happens when Herod is the ruler of Galilee and his brothers are the rulers of other parts of Palestine. And it happens when Annas and Caiaphas are the most important religious leaders of the day. In other words, Luke is telling us that God could have used any one of these very important movers and shakers to prepare us for the coming of the Lord. Imagine that. Imagine Tiberius Caesar holding a press conference in his palace announcing to the whole world that God was about to do something new. Or imagine Governor Pilate at his seaside resort readying the whole of Judea for the coming of the Lord. Or imagine Annas and Caiaphas, the top religious leaders of the day, holding a week-long revival in the holy city of Jerusalem, preparing the people for the birth of the baby that would change the whole world. That's probably the way that I would have done it. If I wanted to make sure that people were prepared for the coming of the Lord, I would have tapped the most important, the most influential person or people and made sure that they were the people who got the word out. But Luke tells us that God doesn't do any of this, that the word of the Lord doesn't come to any of these movers and shakers. Instead, the word of the Lord, the announcement of God's salvation for the whole world, comes to a lowly, unknown prophet by the name of John the Baptist. And he is way out in the wilderness, way out in the place of struggle and hardship and doubt. Strange are the ways of God. As you saw last week, one of the words of Advent is the word of hope. That's what we're looking for, hope. Words of hope and meaning and significance and salvation. But we have a tendency sometimes to look for a word of hope in all the wrong places and in all the wrong people. We turn to Washington or to Hollywood or to Wall Street. We turn to the electronic enclaves of charismatic religious personalities, hoping to find a word of hope, hoping to find a word of the Lord. But the Bible tells us that the word of the Lord rarely originates in such glitzy and powerful places and the people who inhabit them. Instead, we are reminded during the season of Advent that the word of the Lord often comes in the strangest of places and to the strangest of people. When I was in Missouri last week for Thanksgiving, I had my fill of CNN, the news network. My mother loves watching CNN almost 24 hours a day, the headline news. But I couldn't help but wonder If there had been a CNN back 2,000 years ago, if the story of John the Baptist would have been picked up in the news. As I sat there watching the news, the words of very important people were reported on again and again. The words of President Obama, the words of the President, Russian President Putin, the words of the French President Hollande, the words of presidential candidates like Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, all of them with their words commenting on the important news stories of the day. But I wonder if the words of John the Baptist would have been heard, the word of the Lord, because the Bible says that that's where the word of the Lord comes. It comes to John the Baptist, and he is way out in the wilderness. Strange are the ways of God. Luke wants us to understand that this is how God breaks into the world. It starts out in those places that no one would dare to look at for it. It starts out with people that others might cast aside. It starts out like a mustard seed, small and insignificant, but it grows to become the most significant and most important story in the world. That's the way that the Word of God still comes to us. It comes to nurses on the cancer ward, struggling to bring comfort in the midst of fear and anxiety and hopelessness. It comes to the prisoner deep in the bowels of the correctional system, someone who has found the Lord and who struggles to share that word of good news with his fellow inmates. It comes to a young woman at a teen challenge doing all that she can to bring the love and the light of Christ to troubled young women. It comes to an inner city church struggling to be faithful in its mission to transform a community. Nothing big, nothing fancy, nothing glitzy, nothing significant, nothing that would garner the attention of a world drunk on celebrity and illusions of grandeur and importance, but the Bible tells us that this is how the word of the Lord comes. It comes to the wilderness, to the small places, the insignificant places, and to the insignificant people in the eyes of the world. I may have shared this story with you before. If I have, forgive me, but it's a good story, so it's worth repeating. I remember several years ago when I was a seminarian and serving as an intern in a church, leaving from the church being terribly upset, terribly angry about something that had happened in church, and I was just feeling angry in my spirit, and as I walked back to the bus station, I was terribly agitated, moving back and forth between the different sides of the bus station. As I was making my way back to the other side, I heard a voice say, "Excuse me, sir, does this phone work?" And I looked, and it was a woman, not very attractive. She had on a red, grimy jacket, a dirt-smeared pink baseball cap that covered a thatch of unkempt hair. I responded to her, "No, those phones don't work. You probably have better luck on the other side. They seem to be in better repair." And that should have ended the conversation as far as I was concerned, but it didn't. The woman kept coming, and she kept talking. And I thought to myself, "Oh, great, here it goes. Now She's going to start the pitch for 50 cents. She's lost 50 cents in it. Now she wants 50 cents. But she doesn't ask for that at all. She just keeps talking and keeps coming. And I didn't understand a word that she was saying. None of it made any sense. And I was trying to communicate to her through my body language that I really didn't have time for this. I was angry in my spirit. I didn't want to be engaged in this conversation. But the lady kept talking. Something about trying to find her bishop or trying to get in contact with her bishop. But it just was a bunch of psychobabble. Words not making any sense. And I was diverting my eyes from her, glancing at a newspaper stand, looking at the headlines of the day, and the woman kept talking and talking, and then I looked directly at her. Something said, look at her, and I looked at her, and she was looking directly in my eyes, very intently. And suddenly I was convicted that these aren't just any words. These are the words of the Lord. These are the words for you in this moment of your agitation, in the moment of your anger. These are God's words alerting you to the fact that God still cares for you. God is still with you. The words from the Lord, from a very unlikely source. Now you're probably saying to yourself, Randy, you idiot. Those weren't the words of the Lord. Those were words from a deranged, disturbed woman, a woman who needed help. They were not the words of the Lord. And if you're thinking that, that's okay, because I've heard that before. Randy, you idiot. You don't really believe those things, do you? You don't really believe that story. That story about the word of God, the word that becomes incarnate, the word that becomes flesh, the word that pitches his tent in the wilderness among us, the word that comes to a teenage mother living on the margins of society, the word that comes first, not to the rich and the powerful, but comes to the shepherds out in the field, the word that had no place to lay its head, the word that had no room, where people had no room for it in the end, the word that made its way around the world with no place to lay its head, the word that was crucified on the cross for you and for me as a common criminal. You don't believe that nonsense, do you? That wasn't the word of God. That's what people say. And all I can say in the midst of that is, strange are the ways of God. God's ways are strange. God operates in the most unusual way. And the Word of God goes to the most unusual and the strangest of places. It's the only word to me that makes sense, that word, that story. And either you have that word, or you can have the words of the powerful and the influential, the words of Barack Obama, the words of Putin, the words of Prime Minister Hollande, the words of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, all of those words, the words of the world. And how's that working for you? You know where those words lead. They all lead to a dead end. Only the word of God is the word of life. It is the word of meaning and the word of power. It is the word of light and peace and hope. But that word comes to those places that the world overlooks. It comes to those people that the world thinks is insignificant. It comes to you and to me, people like us. We are the people who are entrusted with the words of God, but they are the words that will transform the world, and indeed have already begun to transform the world, because they have already transformed all of our hearts. Continue during this Advent season to listen to God's word. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you help us to be open to his word as it comes to us from those who we might be tempted to overlook, as it comes to us in the wilderness with people who are embroiled in struggle, the struggle to be faithful, the struggle to listen, the struggle to live their lives in accordance with the way that you would have all of us to live. Help us to be receptive and to hear your word. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.